It's time for What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning here, KVOE Live and Local. What's in Outdoors brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto always take great care of you. And our friends at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem doesn't have it, it's probably not around at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch. And from Studio North this morning, Council Grove Lake, we say good morning to Phil Totten. How are you, Phil?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Ron, and I'll tell you, you and Chuck are right on with that weather forecast. It is windy down here. I am looking forward to that sun to come out. I have been catching a few catfish, but with the way things are going this morning, I won't need to use a pole anymore. I'll just walk along the bank. They ought to be walking up on there. It was nice seeing you the other day, and as you noticed in my shopping basket, I had plenty of bird seed and things for the birds. They're happy out there this morning in Studio North.
All right, things going to be blowing around for the next couple of days, but I guess we're used to that right now, huh?
Oh, this is Kansas, Ron, and it's really grown up in Junction City, Geary County, and now, you know, living in Lyon County as long as I have, and also being here in Morris County since 1958 with the cabin here on the city lake. It's really something on how weather has changed and, you know, how things heat up. And I mentioned the peonies really being high in Emporia, and they were barely scratching the ground here. Big reports of morel mushrooms coming from Fort Riley and also the Curtis Creek area of the Milford Lake. Here it's pretty sparse. One fellow was scratching around getting some limbs off of around a cottonwood tree the other day at his campsite, and he found 10. So it's just, they are where they are. You know, we've discussed that before. I judged a field trial last week at NSD, at an NSDR field trial there at Sterling, and run into an old friend, David Spurlock. And David is quite the writer, the outdoorsman. And so I've invited him to be on the show this morning because I know some people are looking at bird dogs, especially after the out season that we had, and optimism coming up that quail are getting the numbers. So, and David operates out at Coakley Game Farms there, Dolly, Kansas, just a little bit north of Topeka. So, good morning, David. How you doing?
Good morning. I am doing wonderfully, even though the wind has been scratching up my voice for the last month. I'm outdoors there every day, so I'm doing just great.
How's things out at the game farm this morning?
Well, of course, crazy windy, but we're waiting on some people to show up on their usual Friday morning shooting out here at the sporting clays. This is what we're getting into this time of the year. The legal shooting season for released bird hunting is coming to a close here at the end of this month, and we've only got one more hunt left, and we're pretty much out of birds. So we start to turn our attentions towards sporting clays, and I start to turn more attention towards dog training.
That's one thing I was wondering, David. I know, talking with Joe Bragg and a number of other people that are wanting to get dogs, and Joe has bought two nice little LQ pointers. You mentioned you're going to be maybe guiding or sporting clays this morning and you know, working your own dogs. And listeners, David has authored two books. One is called For Love of the Flint Hills, Bird Dogs and Quail Hunting, and also For Love of the Ozarks and Roaring Rivers. So we do hope to talk a little bit of fly fishing this morning. But first off, David, let's touch on bird dogs. How would you go about choosing a pup?
Well, you want to, of course, get some good bloodlines. You know, if you're looking for a hardcore hunting dog, you want to get some good hardcore bloodlines that have some little bit of field trial blood in them, so they've got some good noses and abilities. But basically, when you're picking up puppies, you're looking at a litter of puppies, pick a puppy that seems to fit your personality the best. Some people that I know, they're kind of a calm kind of person that don't really want a super high-strung dog. You want to pick the ones that are the calmest-looking dogs in the litter. And if you're a younger person and you feel like chasing a dog around a lot and doing a lot of hard training on a hard-running dog, pick the craziest one in the litter. But there's really no thing about markings or anything like that. That's all just, you know, what people think they like.
I've always liked a dog that had a lot of white on it. And, of course, my breed of choice is a English Pointer or a Setter because of the high tail. Sometimes in the grass, unless you're using electronics, you won't see that dog when he comes on point. So that's one thing I like about a dog with a high tail. But you and I both know that through our experience, and listeners, I did meet David many years ago running trials up in North Topeka. He had a Brittany called Merlin, and that Brittany put a whooping on a lot of my high-strung pointers.
Yeah. Excuse me, Phil. Phil, we've developed a big hum in our line here, so I'm gonna David. I'm gonna unhook you for a moment, and we'll go to a commercial break. I'll give you a call back and see if we can't get rid of this big buzz we have just developed here. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate it. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors on KVOE. It's 8:31. We'll be back with more after this.
Get your spring vehicle maintenance done at Express Tire and Auto. Whether you drive a car, truck, or ATV, the professionals at Express Tire and Auto can diagnose and repair your ride. See them for free tire checks, new tires, and automotive repairs. They're also an authorized Polaris dealer with ATV sales, service, and accessories. Express Tire and Auto will keep your transportation in top condition. Located at 806 East 12th Avenue, open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until 1.
It's time to get growing, and there's lots of work to do, but it sure is easier if you've got the right stuff. Bluestem has everything you need for the yard and garden, and a bunch of it's on sale right now. Names you know like Ortho, Fertilom, Earthway, and Ace. Whatever you need to grow it or keep it from growing, Bluestem's probably got it, on sale through April 23rd. Check out the Get Ready for Spring flyer at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Saturday, April 23rd, the Emporia Granada Theater welcomes Kansas native Jared Neiman.
Oh, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more.
Make plans now to see singer-songwriter Jared Neiman, April 23rd.
And there's been a change in plans, 'cause I love when my mama can't stand.
Tickets starting as low as $20. Available now online at EmporiaGranada.com or through the Granada Theater box office at 805 Commercial. And for Teacher Appreciation Week, access a special code for teacher discounts. Email director at EmporiaGranada.com.
Can't you see? So what do you want? What do you want from me?
Don't miss Jared Neiman at the Emporia Granada Theater Saturday, April 23rd.
I can drink the stuff I like. That's the kind of party makes you throw your hands.
Shop appliances like refrigerators, freezers, and more during the Gion Showcase Spring Cleaning Sale going on now. Shop brands like GE, Whirlpool, and Amana. A Whirlpool refrigerator retailed $9.99, now just $7.49. Or a GE Extra Large Capacity Laundry Pair, regularly $2,000, now $14.99. And freezers are in stock. Choose from chest or upright with prices to meet any budget. Plus, get 12 months no interest financing on all appliances. Shop the Spring Cleaning Sale happening now at Gion Showcase, 6th and Prairie.
KVOE Live and Local. Good morning. It is 8:34, sunshine, 71 degrees, on our way to 82 today before it's all said and done. I think we've got the phone lines back up and operational. See if we have a better signal this time around. So, Phil, let's head back to a studio north and try this again. Phil, here we go.
That's the story of my life, Ron. I'm trying something again. One of these days, everything's going to be just right, and I am going to retire, I guarantee you.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Listeners, we've been talking with David Spurlock, who operates out of Coakley Game Farm. And Will Coakley, I've had him on the show several times, just a great individual, and what he does for youth out at his game farm and everything. I just really like what they do. And we've been talking about training bird dogs and choosing the right dog. And David and I, we've judged field trials over many years together. And David, I was wondering, you know, with new dogs, we see some people bring their dogs out to the trials too early. How do you like to start a pup?
I like to start a pup between 4 and 6 months, you know, closer to 6 preferable. I like to use pigeons. And I don't flip wings around. That's something you really want to try and avoid. Unfortunately, it gives popular now, and it can cause some dogs to want to jump in on birds instead of scenting. They'll cause them to use their eyes too much too soon. But anyway, I use pigeons and I use electronic launchers, and I let the dogs learn to run around and have a good time finding these pigeons and these launchers. And if the dog doesn't point naturally, the dog will learn to quickly do that, because if they move in too close, I can pop the bird. So the dog learns to back off. It's a wonderful way to start a young dog. It eliminates a lot of the problems with dogs catching quail that you release and things like this. They can't catch the pigeons home back. It's a great way to do it. That's how I start all the dogs here. I've had great success with it. And you're right. People do too many things too early that create some bad habits for dogs, and the pigeons eliminate that.
David, one of the things I believe in, especially with young dogs, is developing that nose. And, of course, using a wing, and that was something Mr. Walters brought out in his book on the end of a fishing pole. That might work for some dogs, but I would rather, and that's sight pointing, I'd rather dogs develop that nose. And I use what I call the hot dog trick, where when pups are listening to me a little bit, I will break a hot dog into 10 pieces and throw them out in the grass. And then I'll tell the pup, look.
He's still there?
Phil?
I lost him.
So did I. Let's try to reconnect with Phil here. So I'm trying to get everything taken care of phone-wise. Let's see if we can't get Phil locked and loaded back in here and back on the line with us. Phil, are you there? No, Phil is not. So let's go ahead and see. There we go. Phil, are you there? Hello, Phil. Phil is not with us there. So, well, let me take another break here, try to get reconnected with Phil and get back to the program. This is What's Outdoors. What's in Outdoors on KVOE. It is 8:38.
Get your spring vehicle maintenance done at Express Tire and Auto. Whether you drive a car, truck, or ATV, the professionals at Express Tire and Auto can diagnose and repair your ride. See them for free tire checks, new tires, and automotive repairs. They're also an authorized Polaris dealer with ATV sales, service, and accessories. Express Tire and Auto will keep your transportation in top condition. Located at 806 East 12th Avenue, open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until 1.
Things have changed for everyone, but farming and ranching are as important as ever. Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply is here to help you continue to feed. Bluestem's Get Ready for Spring Flyer will help you save on work clothes, boots, tools, and supplies at prices that'll help you stretch every dollar. Save a bunch during the Spring Savings event now through April 23rd. Check out all the items on the Get Ready for Spring Flyer on Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KBOE Live and Local, good morning, 8:39. It is 71 degrees. Let's try this again. What's in Outdoors? Studio North, Council Grove Lake, Phil Totten. And let's see if we've got everything hooked in and locked and loaded here. Back to you, Phil.
Okay, David, this sort of reminds me of that trial we was judging last week at Sterling, when one of our boxes would quit running and we had to just adapt and do what we could. And I'm sure glad you knew how to get that bike started. We were talking about the use of treats. Do you find use of treats in your training, is that beneficial, or would you rather do something else?
I it's available for me to use, especially in the beginning, to get dogs to do certain things, like go up a ladder onto a table. I'm not big on the treats. I do know people that have a lot of success with that. Since I train some dogs for people trialing, and you don't want to have any sort of training aid that you're using out there that's going to cause you to be disqualified. So I try to get away from that. But that technique with the hot dogs and the scenting, I think, is a wonderful way to get a dog to use it its nose.
Well, I would use treats just mainly to get that bond between me and the dog and some of the things that, to me, that's very important to create, and especially with a dog at a young age. And with Little Myrn and Psycho Sue, I'd put them to sit. Of course,
With bird dogs, I don't really like to teach them to sit. I teach them to whoa and to stay. But anyway, if they sit just in this training, it didn't bother me. And I would toss little Myrna a Cheeto, and she was just like the Cheeto Bandito or a good outfielder. She would snag it just right out of the air. Now, Psycho Cinco, I start calling her Jose Canseco because I tossed her and it hit her dead in the head all the time. A guy hitting the ball one time, and Jose went after it, and it hit him in the head and bounced over for a home run. So I was just
does that count as a homer?
The importance of whoa, David, and, you know, we see that really overused, but I can't stress enough to people that your dog does know hear the recall, that does know whoa, which means stop. Whether you're creeping on a bird, it might cause a wild covey to flush, or whether it's going close to a highway and a road, and you need to stop it. So how do you go about teaching whoa, David?
Well, that's an excellent point. Whoa is the most important command overall that a pointing dog can learn. And sitting is the least important. I tell people when they call me, what should I do before I bring my dog to you? I said, don't flip wings and don't teach him to sit. So anyway, whoa is the most important thing for a pointing dog. And I start whoa by teaching them what the word means. And it's very simple to do that. You can do it when they're a puppy. Be nice to them. Make them stand in front of you. Calmly try to pet them and calm them down, even though they're going to, you know, spin around and do all kinds of things. But you know, pretty soon, if you try hard enough and make them stand there and keep their head up front, pet them and tell them how good they are and go, whoa, things like that. Just keep doing that over and over every day. You'll teach them what the word means. And once they know what the word means, then you can begin to enforce what the word means. And that means that when they're walking along with you, you can say whoa and stop them and stand them back up and do all of that. And you do that. And a lot of trainers call that show pup, where you're showing the pup what the word means, and then you're enforcing it in a non-disciplinarian type of a way with electronics or anything. And then once the dog will begin to stand and whoa a little bit, then you can start introducing the electronics to anchor them to the ground.
David, in your book, For Love of the Flint Hills, Bird Dogs, and Quail Hunting, what do you touch on that book? And up until this week, I never even knew you wrote books.
Yeah, those are my two first books I wrote. What do I touch on in there? I touch upon how much I love doing those things and being in those two worlds, the world of Roaring River and the Trout Stream and the world of the Flint Hills and Kansas and quail hunting. I love quail hunting. It's ideal for pointing dogs, especially pointers and setters. So in those books, I just talk about stories. I tell stories that I've experienced in these areas, and I talk about specific things about technical issues and things like this with trout fishing and fly fishing and things about bird dog training and things like this that fit into the program of actually going out and doing those, really.
David, I think we're going to go to one of our breaks that we have, and then we will come back. When we come back, I'd like you to tell the listeners just how they can go about acquiring these books, and let's talk a little bit more about fly fishing. I always thought that'd be a good way for me to learn to pierce my ears, so I haven't got to learn that. So. Ron, let's go to that break, sir.
KVOE, we are live, and we are local, 844. We're back with more of What's In Outdoors after this.
Get your spring vehicle maintenance done at Express Tire and Auto. Whether you drive a car, truck, or ATV, the professionals at Express Tire and Auto can diagnose and repair your ride. See them for free tire checks, new tires, and automotive repairs. They're also an authorized Polaris dealer with ATV sales, service, and accessories. Express Tire and Auto will keep your transportation in top condition. Located at 806 East 12th Avenue, open Monday through Friday until 5:30, Saturdays until 1.
Things have changed for everyone, but farming and ranching are as important as ever. Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply is here to help you continue to feed. Bluestem's Get Ready for Spring Flyer will help you save on work clothes, boots, tools, and supplies at prices that'll help you stretch every dollar. Save a bunch during the Spring Savings event now through April 23rd. Check out all the items on the Get Ready for Spring Flyer on Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KBOE Live in Local 72 Degrees. It is 8:45. You're tuned into What's In Outdoors. Phil Totten, Studio North, Council Grove Lake. Back to you, Phil, here on a Friday morning.
Since we're talking to David Spurlock, a bird dog trainer, just a good friend of mine and also an author. And he has did a couple of books, and later on we'll have you, you know, let you know how to find, how you might be able to get one of these books. I'm sure interested in getting them. But talking about fly fishing, David, did you grow up in Kansas or Missouri?
Well, I grew up in Kansas, in Kansas City pretty much, and some of it in Iowa, but Missouri, I spent a lot of time in Missouri when I was a kid camping, and my father had sales territory in Missouri, and in the summer he would take us with him, and we had a trailer, and we would go to places, and I fished entire summers, and so, and a lot of that was in Missouri.
How did you evolve into a fly fisherman like me? When I started fishing, Dad would get a switch, you know, willow, well, I'm calling it a switch, a willow sprout, and he'd cut it off with tie line on it. That was my first fishing pole, and he also, it was dual purpose, because if I got to acting up, it was a switch. But did you start off fly fishing? How does someone develop a love for fly fishing?
Well, I started off doing everything. I mean, when I was about 8 years, and maybe a little older, old enough to wield a fly rod, my father took me out to a lake we fished, and he taught me how to use popping bugs for big bluegill. This particular lake had big bluegill in it, and that hooked me on using a fly rod. And I didn't stay. I, of course, like everybody, I used spin cast until I got to spinning, and I did a lot of that. But the fly rod would always come with us when we would go to Roaring River, and Roaring River, my grandfather is the one that established the mystique of trout fishing at Roaring River, and the mystique of trout fishing really anywhere. It's about the trout. And how they are, and how you fish in clear water for them, and how that changes how you fish, and how they take flies, and how they're eating tiny little flies, and that's what they eat, and so that's how you become successful at catching a lot of trout, and being admired by everybody as a great trout fisherman. So that's how it got in my mind as a child and as a young man, that I wanted to be admired like that and be good at it.
We did talk about some youth programs with trout, and I'd ask you to remind me of that now, as I forgot what you said it was about. Can you let us know about some youth programs? And now, trout, and it might have been in the last 20 years, Department of Wildlife and Parks has been introducing trout into Kansas. I think they stock them late in the fall, and then, you know, they will live and provide opportunities until, no, the water warms so much so. And I do know that Lake Shawnee is one of the noted areas that where there's a trout release, and just how that goes. But have you fished Lake Shawnee?
Oh, yes, I've fished Lake Shawnee quite a bit. I've had some good stories about that. But you can catch a lot of trout in those situations. I love catching rainbow trout or whatever trout they release in a lake. But it's different, and it's harder to fly fish in a lake. And so, Lake Shawnee is a wonderful place to catch a lot of trout, and you don't have to go very far. And you were talking about the youth programs.
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to. Go ahead, Phil. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let's hit on those youth programs, David.
The youth programs, and I don't know about many in Kansas. You're probably the expert there, but in Missouri, in the trout parks, they do a couple of times a year. They do what's called Kids Day. And they load up, so each of those parks has a hatchery there, and they take these trout every day normally from the hatchery, and they stock the stream. Well, on the kids' day, the night before, they load up the stream so full of fish that it's like fishing in the hatchery. So you have children walking around in the morning with 5- and 8-pound trout and a whole other sizes, range of sizes, on their stringers, and they're just thrilled. And in the middle of the morning, after everybody's caught all these fish, here comes the tank truck again with another load of trout, and they'll load the stream up again, and it goes on all day. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I bet. Well, in Kansas and doing different workshops and talking with people, and a fellow that used to do a fishing program for the annual Becoming an Outdoors Woman, he talked about fly fishing around fish feeders for channel cat. Have you ever been involved with that?
Yeah, I've seen a guy. Now, that's interesting you say that. When I lived in Atchison, I fished Atchison State Fishing Lake all the time. It's an excellent lake. There was a guy that I used to see out there in the boat. We'd be in boats, and he would hang out at the feeders, and he had a fly rod, and he would use what we call little fur balls. They sometimes call them eggs, but they're made out of material, and they're tied on a single hook, and they may be a size 16 hook. And he would take small like that, 14 maybe the largest, and he would take, and the feeder would go off, and he would flip that out there with his fly rod, and it looked just like the feed, and he would catch big old catfish on his fly rod, like 10, 15-pound catfish.
Oh, goodness. Well, that really sounds like fun. Well, David, you have a good day, and so looking forward to see you. Tell Will hi, and one of these days I'm going to get with Brent for Z, and we're going to come out there and fish those ponds you was telling me about.
Well, yeah, you need to do that. It's kind of a cool little experience.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Well, Ron,
anytime. My pleasure.
All righty. Ron, do we need to take another break, or do you want me to do a recap of some fishing around here and talk about some events to come?
We are time for recap. Let's go into recap here, Phil. We've got our sponsorships taken care of here.
And that's very important.
It is very important.
Well, we did have a great hunter education class over at Osage City yesterday, and I mentioned before Roger Wells and Nancy Lamb does a great job putting that on, and we had instructors come from near and far for that class, and just an excellent team that they got together. And one thing that I was a little, well, it doesn't cause me concern, it's just the way things go, was Roger Carson, who used to be he might have been a fire chief there in Emporia one time, but I've known him a long time, and he's been around doing Hunter's Ed. And I did catch word that he just got a regional award for hunter education. We did a program called Preparing for the Hunt, and also what to do to get ready for a hunt. And of course, that depends on your regulations of the state, and states vary. But Roger asked each individual in that segment, just what do they plan on hunting. One young man said bear. He really wanted to hunt bear, and that reminded me of a story that when I introduced a person in Hunter's Ed to Doug Wilson, who's now retired from Master Mechanics, and Doug might stand like 5'4". And I said, Doug likes to hunt grizzly bears with a bow and arrow. That young man looked at Doug and said, that's stupid. but these are just some of the hunters and some of the instructors that we deal with the stories. But Roger, he asked each individual what they wanted to hunt. And, of course, when someone said a mule deer in a teaching moment, okay, how do you recognize a mule deer other than a whitetail? And so you get varying things. I was really surprised of the Kansas kids that wanted to go moose hunting. But I was a little set back when we went through all this. None of the kids mentioned wanting to go up and game bird hunting. And that was one of the things that I grew up on. Generally in the class, someone will ask me, what's the biggest deer that I ever harvested myself? And I said, well, I've never harvested a deer. When I was a kid, we never had them in Kansas. So then, you know, we also talk about trophy hunting. And what is a trophy? To me, it's not the size of the animal. It's not the number that you might harvest. To me, the trophy is the memory that you have when you come away from that hunt. So that's just some of the things that we talk about with Hunter's Ed, and also ethics and responsibility is so very important. But Ron, a fishing report. They are catching crappie here at Council Grove Marina. I've talked to other lakes, and they seem to be more people having luck going up in the tributaries. Like in Council Grove here, we have Munkers Creek that feeds the lake and also the Elshoe River. There's also a little place called Gilmore Creek that people are catching fish. And that's the same thing, talking with Joe Bragg. His boat's out of commission for a while, and so he's been taking his bird dog pups and going up into the Republican River up above Wakefield, or some of the little streams coming in there, and even come away with the 6-pound bass on a jig. And that's the place that I would be fishing if today was the only day I had to go fishing. I would get out of that wind and go up those tributaries. You need to be aware the snakes are out. And of course, we've been talking water moccasins in Kansas till the cows come home. Generally, the people that see the snake that they think is a water moccasin is really just a water snake.
Ron, in closing, I want to hit on the Earth Day activities we're having at Payrock tomorrow. That's going to be cool. Daphne has really set up a good program. For me, I don't celebrate Earth Day today, or the way I celebrate Earth Day every day of the year with what I do. And, of course, the things you mentioned earlier this morning about conservation, I think five different things just about using water, how we need to conserve water, taking the plastic bags back when you dry them. So these are some things to consider. Well, that ought about do it for this week, Ron. I appreciate you.
Well, hey, appreciate you, Phil. Sorry for a little phone issue here this morning, but we're able to navigate through that. So what time you will be out at Payrock, right, Phil?
Yes, it goes from 9 to 1, and I do, well, no, it's from 9 to noon, and then, of course, they'll be going to the zoo, and I do want to let people know my last note from Daphne is that they'll make a decision later on today because rain is in the forecast. And we will still have something go on, but if we can't do it outside, then we will be going to the Sauter Education Building. I'm trying to look for that address.
1500 Highland Street.
Yes, sir. It'll be moved to there, and I do have six fishing poles to give away. So I hope to see you there.
All right. Good job, as always. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
All right, Phil Tunn, What's In Outdoors here every Friday morning. Brought to you by our friends at Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew there always take great care of you. Express Tire and Auto. And also by a Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem doesn't have it, it probably is not around. Blue Stem Farm and Ranch, What's In Outdoors. Log on to KBOE.com. Click on the Community tab and find the What's In Outdoors website. All kinds of great information, photos, and such from Phil. KBOE, it's 8:56.
Over two dozen homes outside of Flagstaff, Arizona, have been destroyed by a wildfire that's now more than 20,000 acres in size. Heather McKay had to flee her home with her 3-year-old and 3-month-old sons.
I was in the car.